Congress is returning to Washington for one of the busiest weeks of the year. Lawmakers have to agree on some kind of spending plan to avoid a government shutdown next week. Key government programs like the National Flood Insurance Program are due to expire soon. Republicans are hoping to pass tax cuts by Christmas, but it's going to be close in the Senate, which might vote this week. And the day began with questions about who is running the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau because of dueling appointments. Domenico Montanaro is NPR's lead politics editor. Hi, Domenico.
Hi, Robin.
And to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, on Friday, its Obama-appointed director resigned, appointed his deputy, Leandra English, as acting director. Hours later, the White House appointed budget director Mick Mulvaney to be interim chief, and both showed up for work this morning?
They did. It's an awkward situation, and it was, you know, you think about commuting to work and, you know, showing up and not having a boss or not knowing who to report to exactly.
Or having two bosses.
Yeah. I mean, so what winds up happening here is that English shows up earlier than Mulvaney. She sent an email to staff. Mulvaney showed up, by the way, with donuts in tow, hoping to, I guess, make a good first impression. But he's somebody who has had a lot of negative things to say about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And he's also running the Office of Management and Budget. So it's unclear how much of a strong role he thinks the CFPB should actually have. And people should realize this agency has 1,600 employees. They were the ones to kind of take the lead on the Wells Fargo scam accounts case. So they do a lot, and was created under Dodd-Frank. And, you know, they both show up to work today. Mulvaney says to staff, ignore any communication from English. English submitted a lawsuit last night to try to determine which statute of the law weighs out, because Richard Cordray, who was President Obama's appointment there, wound up leaving on Friday. That statute, there's a statute that says that the deputy director would then take over if there was a vacancy. He named English his deputy director, therefore she would take over the agency. However, when the White House learned of this several hours later, they decided to put Mulvaney in charge. They had the Office of Legal Counsel weigh in at the Justice Department and say that that statute of about federal vacancies weighs out over supersedes over that other statute that says the deputy director would take over.
I'd love to be a fly on those walls and you get a donut. But we'll see how that plays out. But talk about the special election in December. It is coming up in Alabama. We learned today President Trump will not go there to campaign for the candidate Roy Moore, of course, accused of inappropriate behavior with teen girls years ago. Republicans Lindsey Graham, John Thune are calling for Moore to drop out. The president's making it clear he wants his supporters to vote for him instead of the Democrat. Here's, though, Thune on Fox News Sunday.
I would like to see the president come out and support what many of us have said, and that is that Roy Moore needs to step aside, allow somebody else to be a write-in candidate. We can win that seat.
Domenico, can they?
Well, you know, this is something of a 50-50 race at this point. It's hard to tell by polling who's going to be the person who could win here. You know, Democrats are worried that the Democrat in the race, Doug Jones, could have peaked a little too early, given that it's Alabama and there's a whole lot of Republicans in the state. It's very much not clear what's going to happen, but, you know, muddying the waters here was on Sunday, Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, going on Meet the Press and seeming to make excuses for John Conyers, the Michigan Democrat who has had sexual harassment allegations leveled against him and apparently settled a case with another woman who was accusing him of more serious charges than even, say, Al Franken, the senator from Minnesota, who was accused of sexual harassment.
We have that sound from NBC's Meet the Press. Let's just listen to a little of House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
Was it one accusation? Is it two? I think there has to be. John Conyers is an icon in our country. He has done a great deal to protect women.
And Domenico, I heard some analysts say that that was maybe her way of maybe a deal in which she said those nice things. And then he did decide yesterday to step down from his role as the ranking Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, well, it's very difficult, though, for Democrats to claim the moral high ground when they say, well, you know, when Chuck Todd asks from NBC, do you believe the women? And she says, I don't know. Do you know who they are? Have they come forward? Yeah. They haven't come forward. That sounds like something Donald Trump would say, not the Democratic minority leader.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the tax cuts and the Senate plan. The president tweeting today that maybe just a little bit of tweaks here and there, and it will pass. pass. He might have been responding to a report over the weekend that said the poor people are actually going to be suffering far more than we'd previously thought by the Republican plans. Where do you think we are there?
One thing that's come out of the sexual harassment discussions has been sort of a papering over of the discussion of some of the details in the potential tax plan. And Republicans are trying to, you know, figure out ways to stick this thing inside of the $1.5 trillion that it can add to the federal deficit, which is why you hear about so many maneuvers and machinations. They got a little bit of a boost in the arm when Rand Paul said that he was going to vote for it, the senator from Kentucky, who's normally a budget hawk. And he did so because they included the Obamacare mandate repeal in there. You had Lisa Murkowski from Alaska also say that she was okay with the mandate repeal. She hasn't said if she'll come out in favor of this bill. But there are a lot of Republicans to watch, and they can only lose two. And there's a lot of things that they each want that sometimes are conflicting with each other.
Yeah. And the Congressional Budget Office, which is nonpartisan, concluded that by 2019, people earning less than $30,000 a year would be worse off under the Senate bill. By 2027, people earning less than $75,000 would be worse off as well. We'll watch that this week. Domenico Montanaro, NPR lead politics editor. Thank you.
You're welcome.